And good morning, everybody. It's a delight to be with everybody, and happy 2022. It's hard to believe. Where did 2021 go? Let's begin with prayer. Again, Father, we come before you, God, because you are awesome. You are the best friend we could ever ask for, and we are here to worship you, to listen to what you have to say. And we want you to know, because you already know, Father, you read our hearts. You know we love you. But God, we just want to spend this time praising you and listening to what you have to say. And so as we focus today on Hebrews chapter 4, we want to make sure we do exactly what you want us to do. Last time I gave a sermon, it was about why you came, why your son came to this earth. And it was very, very important for us to understand that without you coming to this earth, we had no future, that you are our hope for the resurrection, for the future. And today we need to find out what you want us to do. And we'll see that here in Hebrews chapter 4. And so we ask you, God, to make it clear to us so that we know exactly what you want us to be doing since you came to this earth to save us from sin. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, in Hebrews chapter 4, let's turn there and notice the very first line. And it says, therefore. How many of us know what that word means? All right. Whenever you see the word therefore, remember this, you need to ask yourself, what is it therefore? It's calling us to go back to what we just got through reading. And there's one particular verse last night as I was going through this and reviewing that is an absolutely spectacular, awesome, amazing verse that I would like to focus on as an introduction to the sermon today. And that is in Hebrews chapter 2, and I want you to notice verse 11. And it tells us, both the one who makes men holy and those who are made holy are of the same family. So Jesus is not ashamed to call them brothers. He says, I will declare your name to my brothers. In the presence of the congregation, I will sing your praises. And that's what we've been doing, singing praises to God. But I want us to notice that Jesus is not ashamed to call us brothers and sisters. I cleaned the garage yesterday because we had to have our pipes replaced and so on. And I accomplished quite a bit because I got the pool table cleared off in the garage. So I felt really good about it. So I said, well, I'm going to just go take an hour and go golfing. We can just 3 or 4 blocks away. I can go golfing for 1 hour for $13. And I like good deals. So while I was there, I ended up playing with a couple of young people. They were in their 20s. They are young people. When you're 74, they're real young people. But they kept talking to each other. They said, hey, bro. Hey, bro. Yeah, everything's, hey, bro. And so on. And so God wants us to be, hey, bro. He wants you to be his brother and sister. And in order for you to remember what this sermon is all about, it's B-R-O, hey bro, bro. The very first thing we need to know about what Jesus wants us to do. Now that he has come, he's given us a mission to do. But the very first step is a B. It's called believe. If you don't believe, forget it. You're just going to be on the outskirts, you're going to be left out. You'll be one of the parable of the 10 virgins. 5 were foolish because they didn't believe it was that big of a deal. So they didn't spend time with God and they ended up losing out on the first resurrection. They were foolish virgins. Virgins means Christian. They claimed to be Christians and they may have been Christians, but they were not wise virgins. They were foolish virgins. And you can read in Matthew 25 what happened. And they had to wait for the second resurrection. They had to sleep an extra 1,000 years. I know some of us wouldn't mind having a little rest, but about 1,000 years. But that's what's going to happen. And that's why it says here in Hebrews chapter 4 in verse 1, He says, therefore, since the promise of entering his rest still stands, let us be careful that none of you be found to have fallen short of it. He's talking to Christians. And he's telling us here, he wants to make sure you, that's the one of every time you look in a mirror, that's who he's talking to. You and me, I look in a mirror just like you do. He's talking to me. He's talking to you. He wants to make sure you do not fall short of this rest. We don't want you to get arrested. We want you to be at rest. So let's go back into Hebrews 2 and verse 11. I want to bring out this brother concept, that BRO. He wants us to be his brother. He wants to have an intimate relationship. It's about relationship. Religion sucks. That's what Jesus said in Matthew 23. You read it yourself. The Pharisees were all caught up in religion. And he says, you whitened sepulchers, you snakes. God is not interested in religion. He's interested in relationship. When you're out there just trying to be a good person, God is not interested in you being a good person. He wants to be the good person in you. Vast difference. He doesn't want you to be a bad person either. But if you're a good person and Jesus is not in you, that's a foolish virgin. We need to understand that. And that's what this is all about in Hebrews chapter 4. But the second thing about bro is what immediately follows belief. Even a belief is faith. Without faith or belief, they're synonyms. They're the same. Brothers, belief and faith are the same. Without faith or without belief, God can't use you. He plans to use you as a king and a priest in the kingdom of God. And how can he use you if he can't trust you? Faith is where you believe what God says. Not just most everything. Everything that is in this word, ratchir. Believe it. And you can't believe something you never read. That's why it's very important that we understand that we need to be addicted to Jesus. So belief is the first letter. Second is without repentance. God says, after God sent Jesus Christ here to this earth and he went back to the Father, then Peter gave a sermon, the very first sermon on the day of Pentecost. And what did he say? He gave this fantastic sermon in Acts chapter 2 and in verse 38, after Peter already says, he was crucified because of you and me, because we were sinners and he had to come save us from our sins. And so if we're responsible for that because of our sins, he said, what shall we do? Acts 2 verse 38, what shall we do? And Peter said what? Repent. And be baptized. So repent. Repent means to change. After you believe, if you believe something, if you believe a Mack truck's going to run over you, you what? You get out of the way. You do something. You act. You respond. You change. You change your direction. You get out of the street so you don't get run over by the Mack truck. So that's the R, is repent. If you want to be a brother of Jesus Christ, you need to believe everything in his word and repent. In other words, be willing to change, to be transformed. And that willingness to change is what God is looking for. He says his eyes are roaming the entire earth looking for people who are willing to change. He says, to this man will I look, to him that is humble and contrite and trembles at my word. Isaiah 66 verse 2. That's what he's looking for. So once we are willing to repent, then comes the O for the bro. And the O stands for obey. If you want to be a wise virgin, that requires obedience. You can read about that in 1 John chapter 2. Let's notice 1 John 2. Hold your finger here because we're coming back to Hebrews. But 1 John chapter 2, verses 4 through 6. Let's read this. And it says, the man who says, I know him, but does not do what he commands or obeys him is a what?
Liar.
Liar, liar, pants on fire. You heard that before? You want your pants on fire? God says, he that says, I know him, he who claims to be a Christian and doesn't do what he says, he's a liar. That's not very complimentary. That's what God's word says. And the truth is not in him. Now we know what the truth is, don't we? John 17:17, thy word is truth, and Jesus is the word. In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God. Jesus is the word of God. But notice what it says, verse 5, but if anyone obeys his word, God's love is truly made complete in him, because the word is in him. That is how the word is made complete. He comes and lives in you, through you, and accomplishes his will through you. That's why my prayer every day, and it should be your prayer, Jesus, please come into my life and give me your heart, because my heart can't cut the mustard. Just doesn't work. Just does not work. You can't be good enough for the kingdom. The only one that can be good enough to be resurrected into the first resurrection is Jesus. And if you're having him live in you, then you can be resurrected in that first resurrection. And then it says in verse 6, this is how we know we are in him. Whoever claims to live in him must walk as Jesus did. That's a pretty high bar. Most people just live in the bar. We need to be above the bar. We need to be in him, asking him every day. David prayed 3 times a day, evening, morning, and a noon, but I lift up my voice and you shall hear my, and you'll hear me. Psalm 55, verse 17. So if we claim to be a Christian, we need to be in him and he needs to be in us. That's something that we should never forget. This is how we can be the bro of Christ. B is believe, R is repent, and O is obey. Hey, bro, if you want to make sure you're one of the wise virgins, make sure that you are his bro. Believe, repent, be willing to change as you read his word, because he's going to be telling you lots and lots of things. You read the Proverbs in Man Alive, it'll keep you busy all day long trying to remember all the stuff that we're supposed to be changing. And that's not even in the New Testament. So when the next time you hear the word, hey, bro, now we know exactly what Jesus wants. All right, back to Hebrews. Now let's pick up in Hebrews chapter 4. Well, I wanted to mention one other thing. The reason Jesus Christ came, that those first 3 chapters, Jesus came to make you holy. That's why he came, to get rid of sin. And that's how you become holy, is we have the righteousness of God that is sinless. Jesus in us makes us holy. When the Holy Spirit comes in us after baptism, you have the Holy Spirit, and that makes you holy because the Holy Spirit is holy. And when we are holy, then that's what Jesus Christ came to accomplish, when you receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And what Jesus wants is for you to be his bro. And he tells us what to do. Now let's go back to Hebrews 4 and cover this chapter. Very, very awesome chapter that summarizes everything. So let's be careful that none of you be found to have fallen short of it. For we also have had the gospel preached to us just as they did. Now who's they? That's ancient Israel. They were given the gospel. They were given the good news. Jesus Christ was there on the mount there, and Moses was talking to him going up on the mountain, and the elders were, the high priest there, Aaron, was out on the sides looking up into that blazing fire up in the clouds on the top of the mountain. And the gospel was given to them. It's good news that Jesus was their savior. He says, I'll bless you. I'll take care of you. These are all physical blessings that were offered that were leading up to what is going to come under the new covenant that Jesus knew about way back then. But it says, for we also have had the gospel preached to us, verse 2, just as they did, but the message they heard was of no value to them because those who heard it did not combine it with faith. Now, in another manuscript, it says, they did not share in the faith of those who obeyed. And I think that makes a little bit clearer explanation of they did not combine it with faith because they didn't have faith. They didn't believe. What were they doing within just a little over a month or less than a month after here the mountain is on fire? They've just been brought through the Red Sea on dry land through a major corridor through the isthmus of the Red Sea. And they were being provided manna and all sorts of amazing things. And in less than a month from this fiery action on the Mount Sinai, they were worshiping a golden calf. Unbelievable. But you know what? Today, Christians can be worshiping a golden calf too. They just get caught up on what their, what do you call it, their life has been in the past. What was the life of the Israelites back in Egypt? They went just back to the world. They went back to what they were familiar with because they were having golden calves and probably golden giraffes and everything else. Who knows, back in Egypt. But it's just going back to the way we were living before we were baptized, before we were converted, before God opened our eyes. Look out. Don't go there. Don't get caught up in this world. Make sure that your life is devoted to Jesus, that he's your bro. You need to believe with all of your heart everything that God's word says and repent. Be willing to change when most people do not want to change. Changing is not an option because I know everything. That's human nature. Every way in a man's eyes is right in his own eyes. That's God's word. And then O is obey. Well, that's not an option. I got to do what I want to do because I know it's right. I do. You know, every way is right in my eyes. So moving on. Verse 3. Now we who have believed enter that rest, just as God has said. So I declared an oath, on oath in my anger, they shall never enter my rest. And so there's a reason why everyone that came out of Egypt except Moses and Aaron and maybe one other didn't go into the promised land. Well, even Moses didn't. But the reason for that is it's very symbolic. We need to make sure that we are not caught up in our own worshiping of the golden calf. We do not want to be a part of those foolish virgins that didn't pay attention and didn't build a brotherhood with Jesus Christ. He's not ashamed to call us his brother. And we need to make sure we're the proper brother to him as well. He's not ashamed. And we should not be ashamed either, because what he's offering us is off the charts. And we'll see that as we go on. And yet his work has been finished since the creation of the world, because God speaks of those things that be not as though they were, because he knew he was going to die. For somewhere he has spoken about the seventh day in these words. On the seventh day he rested from all his work. And again in the passage above he says, they shall never enter my rest. Now there's three rests in the Bible. And it's very important to understand that. Back in the days of creation, the seventh day, you notice they left out the evening and the morning was the seventh day. Because it's a permanent thing. The Sabbath is a rest with Jesus. It's where you put your faith. You let Jesus living in you. They didn't understand that back in the Old Testament. That was revealed to us when Jesus came. But that's the second rest. The first rest was when the Israelites went into the promised land. And the ones that came out of Egypt, because of that disobedience, he didn't let any of them go in, except Aaron. But it was because of disobedience and rebellion, and I'm not going to do that. I want my way. I want to do this. I want, gimme, gimme. It's all about me. Me. That's, you have not repented if it's all about you. It's about him. It's about Jesus. And so that's what this seventh day is symbolically representing. The second rest is when Jesus Christ comes and lives in us under the new covenant. On the day of Pentecost, remember the Holy Spirit came and Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit inhabited the saints. And they spoke in tongues and God gave all amazing blessings and so forth. And then the third rest is the one we're looking forward to, is the one when we have no more pain, sorrow, suffering, and death. It's called the first resurrection. And that's going to happen 1,000 years before the rest of the world is even resurrected to mortal life. We are given such an honor and a privilege. I want to read more here. This chapter is amazing. Verse 5 says, and again in the passage above, he says, they shall never enter my rest. Notice Psalm 95 and verse 11. Psalm 95, that's where this came from. And Psalm 95 and verse 11 says, so I declared on oath in my anger, they shall never enter my rest. Not in the flesh. They were rebellious. And the whole thing happened so that everybody would realize that without Jesus, he had to come for a reason. Because without Jesus, there is no hope. He is their hope. And that's why there were various prophets and so forth that God gave the Holy Spirit to back at that time so that they could let everybody know that they need to keep their focus on God. But without the Holy Spirit, they couldn't do it. So that's where that comes from, Psalm 95 and verse 11. And it goes on to say, it still remains, verse 6, that some will enter that rest, and those who formerly had the gospel preached to them did not go in because of their disobedience. Therefore, God again set a certain day, calling it today. That's right now. That's when Jesus Christ came all the way up through the return of Jesus Christ is called today. It's a new time when we can enter into this rest if we follow the fact that we are his bro. We believe or have the faith, ask God to give us his faith. B-R-O, believe, repent, and obey. That's what God is looking for. If you want to know what God wants, he wants you to be his bro. He wants you to be in relationship. Those guys on that golf course, they just talked the whole time. They were really good friends, and I got to know them. We're going to catch up again sometime. But it's wonderful to see relationship. And that's what God wants with us. He wants to live in us. He goes on to say, when a long time later he spoke through David, as was said before, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. For if Joshua had given them rest, that's in the promised land, God would not have spoken later about another day. There remains then a Sabbath rest for the people of God. And this is where a lot of people come up with, including Worldwide Church of God, that the Sabbath under the new covenant is mandated. But that is not what that's referring to. There remains therefore a keeping of the Sabbath. That is Jesus. Jesus is our Sabbath. And you can't just worship him on one day. It was symbolic and so forth. But what we need to understand, it says right here, verse 9, there remains then a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For anyone who enters God's rest also rests from his own work. Now, if you're physically minded and you're thinking that means that you need to make sure you don't work and you don't gas up your car. I remember when I was growing up in the Seventh-day Adventist church, I couldn't even gas up because if you gassed up, that was work. But when you cease from your own work, it means you stop trying to be a Christian. You can't do it. It's impossible for a human being to be a Christian without Christ in them. Doesn't work. You can be a really, really good person, and God is not interested. He's not. He wants to live in you. He wants to be your bro. He wants to live inside of you. You can read that. The rest of the book of Hebrews talks about that. He has to be in us. Otherwise, how can we be close? You know, sex is amazing. Sex is awesome. It's phenomenal. But when we have Christ living in us, it's a thousand times better than that, because it's only one thousandth in comparison to when Jesus lives in you and you are composed of Jesus. He lives in you. He lives his life through you. He empowers you to do things that you could never do in a million years. That's why Jesus said he couldn't do anything. In John 5:30, he says, I can of mine own self do nothing. If Jesus, who is God in the flesh, couldn't do anything, what do you think we can do? Nothing. It's going to please God unless we're his bro. Unless you believe, repent, and obey. And then Jesus comes and lives his life in you and through you and does things through you like Jesus did. We got to walk as Jesus did. Jesus walked because the Father lived in him. And it's so important to understand, because so many Christians think they just need to be good. That has nothing to do with being good. And that's hard to wrap your mind around unless you realize that God is not looking for good people. Some of the finest people on earth are in non-Christian religions. So we need to understand that it's all about relationship. He wants to know he can trust you to believe everything he says and to be willing to change to what he says and then to obey it. Bro. Moving on. Verse 11. Let us therefore make every effort to enter that rest. Not the promised land one. That was only a type. The letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. The Old Testament was the letter of the law. The New Testament is where Jesus lives his life in us so that no one will fall by following their example of disobedience. What is that disobedience talking about? Disobedience is just doing what you think is right. There is Proverbs, it says twice in Proverbs, Proverbs 14:12 and 16:25 says, there is a way that seems right to a human being, and the ends thereof are the ways of what? Say it all together. Death. That's right. All right, let's finish. The word then, verse 12, the word of God is living and active. The word of God is Jesus. Jesus, the Holy Spirit, and the Father, they are one. When the Holy Spirit lives in you, the Father is in you, and Jesus is in you at the same time. Don't ask me how, but that's because they're one. And you're not missing out on anything by having the Holy Spirit living in you. You got all three because they're all one. The Word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to the dividing of the soul, the spirit, joints, and marrow. In other words, it gets down to the nitty-gritty inside your heart. It judges the thoughts and the attitudes of the heart. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of him to whom we must give an account. That's why you can't do this. I can't do this, but Jesus can. And all we need to do is, that's why he says, come unto me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Matthew 11:28. Take my yoke upon you, that's the Holy Spirit, and learn of me, for my yoke is easy. I love that. It's not hard to be a Christian when you let Jesus do it. But you got to ask him to, and you got to be willing to be bro. Believe, repent, and obey. And ask God to do the bro business too, because it doesn't work for us unless we ask him to do that. To give us his faith, that his belief, his repentance. Know you not that the goodness of God leads you to repentance. And obedience has to be by the Holy Spirit working in and through us. Now, verses 14 through the end of the chapter. Therefore, now, again, we ask, why is that therefore? Since we have a great high priest who has gone through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weakness, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet was without sin. Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. He is our help. He's our deliverer. He's our savior. He's our God. He's our best friend. He is everything that we need. Everything. And the beautiful thing is, he is our high priest. And you know what? We're going to find out in the future, because I'm not going to get into chapter 5. But it's what God is offering. It's just phenomenal. That we're going to be kings and priests. We're going to be, Jesus is going to be in us, and we're going to be kings and priests. Revelation 5:10. Kings and priests in the kingdom. Jesus is our great high priest, and we are his body. Be still in my presence, even though countless tasks clamor for your attention. Nothing is as important as spending time with me. While you wait in my presence, I do my best work within you, transforming you by the renewing of your mind. If you skimp on this time with me, you may plunge headlong into the wrong activities, missing the richness of what I have planned for you. Do not seek me primarily for what I can give you. Remember that I, the giver, am infinitely greater than any gift I might impart to you. Though I delight in blessing my children, I am deeply grieved when my blessings become idols in their hearts. Anything can be an idol if it distracts you from me as your first love, your bro. When I am the ultimate desire of your heart, you are safe from the danger of idolatry. As you wait in my presence, enjoy the greatest gift of all, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Thought you'd enjoy that. Let's just pray, because this is just so awesome. We just need to thank God forever for what he's doing for us. Our Father in heaven, we thank you, God, for being good. Thank you for having such a phenomenal plan that Jesus would be willing to be our sacrifice before Adam and Eve were even created. He was slain before the foundation of the world was even made. God, you have it all together, and you're allowing the world to get a belly full of sin so that we can put this sin in the history books and it will be no more. There'll be no more pain, no more sorrow, no more suffering, no more death. And God, we just want to thank you, God, that you've got this all figured out. And we can trust you. We can put our faith in you, that we can change. And we ask you to change us and give us your heart every day, all day long. And give us the power to obey, because we can't do it. We need you to obey through us. And so, God, thank you for being our bro. You're the best bro we could ever, ever ask for, and we look forward to being with you forever and ever and ever. In Jesus' name.